today on Compassion Radio.
The thing that's hard to do is just to take time alone as a couple, because we're here doing ministry full-time together. We live, obviously, full-time together. We have an adult with special needs that lives full-time with us. And then we've got all these families that are on campus. We have to make an effort as a couple often to just meet for coffee off campus, or we've gone to Europe a couple times, just the two of us, because it's, you know, close. Right. And so we definitely make time, yes. Unless we have a strong marriage, we're not going to have a strong ministry.
Well, hello and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This is your host, Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us as Bram's wife, Sandy, continues her conversation with Tracy Hegman. Tracy and her husband, Eric, run a ministry in Nairobi called Heshima that ministers to mothers of local disabled children there in East Africa. Last time, Tracy shared with us the story of how God called her and her husband to that ministry. And today, Tracy shares her heart for the kids there and the ministry vision that God has given her and her husband. Here's the second half of that conversation.
So do you think that maybe because the government doesn't see these people as becoming viable, productive citizens, that they don't show more of an interest in it? Do you think maybe that's part of it? Or is it just so culturally foreign to them that they're not interested in what's happening?
It's so culturally foreign. This is a third world country. So they're dealing with people can't eat. Millions of people are dying with HIV. There's drought. There's no water. So it's just not high on a priority list.
Right, right.
They're just putting out fires to just try to function as a country. But Kenya is a great place. I'm really proud to be here.
It is beautiful there.
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier to you when we were preparing to do this interview, we had a question that, that I wanted to ask you about. Why do you think that it is important to save the children of Africa?
I feel like that's like a Miss Universe question.
It's loaded.
How can you do world peace?
Right.
How can you solve world hunger?
Right.
I think I need to break that question down because I can't answer it for Africa as a continent because I only live in one country.
Okay.
And then I live in the city of Nairobi, which is the capital of Kenya. I guess I can answer the question of why do I think it's important to save or help the children of Nairobi. And I think it's important because, first of all, God calls us to be his hands and his feet. But also, at least generally speaking, the women and the children are going to be the most marginalized.
Right.
So, you know, that's going to be common probably anywhere you go in the third world. Opportunities for these kids could be so great, but, you know, it starts from the top down. I really think you can only change one thing at a time. And so, you know, we've stayed very focused on what our vision is and what our mission is. Every day at our gate on our compound where we live, and I say gate in a compound because here in Kenya, you have to have a tight security system with guards and dogs and a wall and all that. We get people at our gate every single day that are either hungry or need assistance. If we said yes to everybody, I would have gone back to the U.S. years ago having a nervous breakdown.
Right.
You have to put up an incredible amount of boundaries and learn what to say yes to and what to say no to because the needs are so great. So as far as saving and helping kids, you know, they're the next generation of what's going to happen in this country. And this country is so great. So if we don't help the kids, then what's going to happen to the next generation of government and people?
Do you see yourself as being a change agent of maybe the way people look at the disabled? Or people that look the way that the country even views them?
Absolutely. Again, I can only address the information I know and where we've impacted. We're in a small village area outside of Nairobi. And so I know in the village where we're located and we have our center, the people in the village have accepted us. People in the village protect us. They have had their eyes open to knowing that people with disabilities aren't contagious. They're not cursed, are very accepting. So it's definitely helped, again, to just educate. And it's not because people are not smart. Just like in the U.S., there's so many things that we have misinformation about that aren't true, whatever that is. And it's not because people aren't smart, it's because it's misinformation. Once we get the information out in this community that these kids are special and the moms are great, then the community's like, oh, okay, good. Thank you for teaching us that. Mm. And we're thankful. Yeah, they've been very receptive.
So do you have kids that have gone through your program? I mean, it sounds like you've been around doing this for like 11 or 12 years now. Kids that have grown up in the program, what happens next for them?
Well, because I'm speaking to a U.S. audience, their mindset is that there's a system in place here like there would be in the U.S. where
right.
there's step one, and then after your kid graduates from step one, then your kid goes into step two program, mm-hmm. and then your kid goes. They don't have anything like that here. We're really the only program that is doing what we're doing, mm-hmm. and there's not something after us or before us.
Mm.
One of the things I can tell you is that the Lord has very clearly said to us, you're a cup of cold water for right now
mm-hmm.
and for today. And so I don't need to worry about 10 years down the road. Not that I shouldn't plan, but there's not a system in place after they leave here.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you our success story is our first child that we took into Ashima in 2007. His name's Victor. I don't know how old he was, 7, 8. When he came, and he's 22 and he's a full-time employee mm-hmm. for my husband's construction company.
Mm-hmm.
And he has cerebral palsy and he uses sign language. It's unheard of here to employ someone with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun to see him work hard and he's actually getting a salary. So there's big success story.
Mm-hmm. So the dignity continues for them though.
Correct. Another big success story is our son, Simon, who, as I mentioned, was in the hospital, came here with special needs, is now 23 years old. He works full-time with us as our pastor on
mm-hmm.
campus.
Mm-hmm.
And he preaches every morning at our Hashima church. He's got some speech issues and some other issues, but they regard him as the miracle boy. And so it's beautiful to see him function in this country so well
mm-hmm.
with the challenges that he has. And he loves being here. He loves being the pastor. And I say pastor, you know, that's in quotations. I mean, he's not trained in the U.S. or anything like that, not a good reader or writer, but he loves the Word of God. And he speaks the Word of God every morning to these mamas. And he prays with our staff and our families. And he sits with them and he listens to them.
Mm.
It's amazing to see it.
That is amazing.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Sandy Floria. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
What does a typical day look like at Hishima when the children arrive with their mamas? They arrive, boom, at, I don't know, 8 o'clock, and then what goes on from there?
And if people want to visually see that, we have a couple of videos on our website that take you through kind of life in the day of.
What's the web address?
It's Hishima.org, Hishima.org.
Okay.
So people can view that on there. As far as explaining it, it's a Monday through Friday project. The families we work with all live in the area, so they come here by 8 o'clock in the morning and they all get a breakfast. And then the moms go to work on the center, wherever their work is allocated. And then the children go into their classrooms. During the day, we give them therapy and special education. We also do medical intervention. We have a nurse practitioner that comes to our campus once a month and does kind of ear, nose, and throat checkups on our kiddos. Mm-hmm. And then we also raise funds for orthopedic surgeries as well as shunt surgeries, other things that we do. We partner with Kajabi Cure, which is a mission hospital about an hour outside of Nairobi. Mm-hmm. So the day looks like the families come, they get two meals here, the mamas work, and the children get their therapy and special education for the day and outdoor playtime and other things. And then they all leave by 4 o'clock mm-hmm. and they go home.
Mm-hmm. So it's a full day.
Yeah. It's a full day.
For you as well.
Yeah, our family lives on the Hishima campus in this village, so we live right with everybody.
And that gets crowded sometimes, I think.
It does. It does. So we take a lot of opportunities to create margin in our lives mm-hmm. so that we can be long-term sustainable here.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people on the mission field really burn out over the years because they're not creating margin. So it's something that my husband and I do proactively. Things like we go out of town, we work out, we spend time in the Word, we have dinner with friends. Mm-hmm. We do things, not that we don't love what we do, because we do, but it can be so all-encompassing because the needs are so in your face and they're so great. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're real needs, like we have kids that have died here and a lot of people in medical trauma and things that are happening. And so if you take on all those needs, and God doesn't call me to take on actually any of those needs, mm-hmm. It's His burden to carry. And so I have to, we make a lot of time for margin because the load is so heavy. Mm-hmm. It's like walking around all day with a 100-pound weight. You could maybe walk around with a 100-pound weight or a 50-pound weight for maybe an hour, and then you need to take a break for an hour. You know, it's definitely not a sprint. It's right. It's trying to run the marathon.
Yeah. So don't you think that's important? I mean, that message is important for all of us as followers of Christ when He's called us all to mission field, whether it be across the world in
right.
Africa or
right.
Asia, another country, or right. right here where we are. He's called us all to mission, but He's called us into rest as well and called us into self-care, soul care, we call that. It's good to hear that you're able to take that time and that you see the need for that. Now, was that something that you were able to do right off the bat when you got there? Or is it something that you've grown into over the years? You've had to learn that you've got to take that time.
I think both. And Sandy, you know me and you've been here. So mm-hmm. I have a driven personality. So mm-hmm. downtime is going to be different than someone who is introverted and likes to read. So my downtime for me is like going for a run or going mm-hmm. to have coffee with a friend because I'm such an extrovert. I definitely make time for those things. The thing that's hard to do is just to take time alone as a couple because we're here doing ministry full-time together. We live obviously full-time together. We have an adult with special needs that lives full-time with us. And then we've got all these families that are on campus that have such high needs, we have to make an effort as a couple often to just meet for coffee off campus, or we've gone to Europe a couple times, just the two of us, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, close. Right. And so we definitely make time, yes. Unless we have a strong marriage, we're not going to have a strong ministry.
Mm, that's a good point. Very much so.
Right.
I think that's good for all of us to hear that. It's important to have that, especially for a marriage, to have that strong bond together and that time that you prefer each other over everything else that's around you.
Right. Which is hard because when the needs are so in your face, and you know, as a mom, your kids can often get put before your husband, and that isn't actually a biblical model.
Mm.
It's easy for us moms because we see the needs and, you know, and then our husbands feel like, God, there's no time for me. And really there isn't. And then and then as we get irritated, we're like, what do you need? Everyone needs something from me. Just let me.
Right.
Whereas God's like, you know, always reminding me, no, Tracy, your energy needs to first and foremost go into your relationship with me, which is spending time alone with me. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, with your husband. And it's not your kids before your husband. And it's not your ministry before your husband. For me to get those mixed up regularly.
Yeah. I think that's true for most of us.
Yeah.
Well, Tracy, this has been a really sweet time. I've enjoyed hearing about your ministry and your life in Kenya. Is there anything that we have not touched on that you would like our listeners to know about what you do there?
I think I've kind of explained what we do, but I do want to say that I don't want anyone to consider us wiser than we ought, because it's the Lord who gets all the glory for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ that this ministry is what it is. And he can pull us out at any time. And he doesn't need us. He's God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to do what he's calling us to do, even though we don't do a great job. And I just want to let everybody know who's listening to this. It is all because of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it is through him that we're doing this, not by anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on our own strength, but it's on him. So I give all the honor and glory to Jesus.
That's great. That's great. One more thing I wanted to ask you, Tracy, is how would you encourage someone that's listening to this to pursue a dream that God has planted in their heart, whether it be going overseas or starting some sort of ministry right here at home where they live?
Well, I think that if you look in the Bible, God does call people to do things. Moses and Abraham, and they didn't come to God with an idea. God came to them. That's what a call is.
That's a good point.
So I think if God is calling, then it's usually something that he's created in himself that he's coming to get you to do. It's not something that you've created that you're going to get him to do.
Mm.
And so just looking at it and assessing it and saying, okay, have I got this mixed up? And then if truly God is calling you to do this, then making the right choices now is really important. Again, with your finances, you shouldn't be in debt. There's issues that play into it, but making sure you're making wise choices and keeping yourself pure until marriage, making choices that are going to give you a firm foundation to be able to move forward as, not that God expects anyone to be perfect, because we're not, and we screw up every day. But you can't just like make 20 years of crappy choices and then all of a sudden go, oh, I'm going to be a missionary. And then you have $20,000 in debt. You have two broken marriages. People make bad choices. There's also lots of people that make bad choices that affect us. So I'm not pointing a finger. I'm just saying we all have baggage, and some of us have more baggage than others. You know, I had a lot of baggage. And so there's still things in my past that I'm still reaping consequences from at 54. Once I became a believer and really started to walk with the Lord in my mid-20s, I was trying to pursue righteousness as best as I could. And so making the right life choices that are biblically based are going to be a huge help with moving forward. Mm-hmm. And also, I just want to encourage people to, you know, when God gives you pain or allows pain, however you want to look at it, or Satan gives you pain, you want to look at that. Make it into something that God can create to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I know with Simon, you know, we could have looked at that situation and said, this is terrible, this is awful, which we did.
And it was.
Yeah, why? Exactly. It wasn't fun. It was horrible. Why is he like this? Why did this happen? Poor me, poor me. Which, of course, there was times when we did that.
Mm-hmm.
But when we came out the other side and didn't have fire on us, we were like, okay, wow. Okay, God, now what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Usually the pain, deep pain in your life is what you're going to be most passionate about.
Yeah. It's the things that God brings us through, the refiner's fire that we've been through, that produce the most beautiful fruit in our life.
Right.
Well, God used a very difficult situation in your life, a very difficult trauma, to bring about beautiful healing and dignity for people that you didn't even know you were going to affect in later years. And I think that is a sweet testimony of what God can use in our lives when it looks like there's not anything He can use. So I think that your testimony of how God used your trauma with Simon and what your family went through and what you had to fight for Simon when you got to Kenya, when God brought you there and you knew that you had to fight for your son to get the kind of treatment, the kind of education that you wanted him to have and that he deserved, it built in you a tenacity, which I have seen, to bring about some great result for other people and a great ministry that is bringing dignity to people who otherwise would not know what that was in their lives. And I'm grateful for that, Tracy. I'm grateful to have met you and to have been able to see some of the things that God has been doing in your life. Getting to reconnect again has been fun as well. So thank you, Tracy.
Yeah, thank you, Sandy. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being on Compassion Radio today. And I look forward to hearing in the future what else God is going to do, because I think He's not done with you at all in what you're doing over there.
Amen.
I would just ask, would you be willing to close us out in prayer as we close this program up and just pray for our listeners that are hearing this, that God will just move in their hearts the way that He desires to move in their hearts after hearing words of encouragement?
Sure. Lord Jesus, I just think about that verse that says, "Who will go for me?" And then it says, "Here I am, send me." And so, Lord Jesus, I just pray for these listeners, Lord God, if there's people in this listening audience that You are truly calling into missions, I pray You'd open their ears and their eyes to see what that looks like, that they would not have a spirit of resentment or anger towards You, that they want to say no to You, but they want to say yes to You. So God, I pray against any spirit of resentment or any spirit of saying no to God. And I just ask, Lord God, for these listeners to say yes. And it could be just to teach Sunday school or go witness to your neighbor. But Lord Jesus, we know You're coming back soon. And so Lord, we want to be ready and we want to be watching. And we just said, You come, Lord Jesus, come. And in the meantime, Lord God, we want to do what You've called us to do. So I just pray a blessing on each one of these listeners, that they would hear Your still small voice, and then they would follow. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Tracy, for being part of Compassion Radio family.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Sandy Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.